Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and we're here to interview Paul Selig, who is the author of The Book of Mastery, a channeled text. This book is information from higher realms of our existence that we are connected to when we're ready to start on the path of mastery. Welcome, Paul. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Would you like to give the audience a little bit of your information and how you came to write the book?
Well, you know, I don't write the books. I'm a conscious channel, so I sit in a chair and I close my eyes and I speak it. So it's all dictation, and then it's transcribed. So the unedited transcripts of the channeling sessions are the books that have been published under my name. So how did it come to be? I mean, I've been channeling, you know, we're doing this kind of work in one form or another for quite a number of years now, and I wasn't expecting books to come through me. But in about 2009, my guide said to somebody else in a group that I was facilitating that I wouldn't believe what was coming through me until I saw it written down. And then I began to record and transcribe, and that was really the beginning of what is now the books.
Well, the information coming through the books is quite interesting and consistent with what other masters have taught us, you know, in terms of the connection we have to all that is and the difference between our self, our greater self, and then our separated self. Mm-hmm. Would you like to start there with what the journey is all about and what kind of realizations we have to make to get out of the fear-based living and into a much better state of existence?
I'll do what I can. You know, as I said, I'm not really the author. I'm the guy taking the dictation. So I'm getting more comfortable sort of explaining the teachings as I hear them or understand them. Mm-hmm. But the guides have said from the very beginning that who we are, the true self, they would say, they call it sometimes the true self or the infinite self or the Christed self. They say that is the aspect of us that is the divine seeking realization as and through us. And what they've done in a series of books, the Book of Mastery is actually the fifth. So that's the fourth in a series. I just finished channeling the fifth. It's really, I'm not going to say it's a course, but it's a system of realization that's sort of operating both with the intellect being party to that conversation, but the real books are energetic attunements that are working with the readers to support a realignment of the vibrational field to hold this. It's really kind of interesting. So the books are quite interactive. And if you look at the reviews on Amazon, you know, people are saying, you know, I'm reading the books and my body is vibrating. I'm reading the book, you know, I'm seeing auras. But the guides are asking us to reclaim who we truly are, and they say who we've always been, and that we've misidentified as the personality structure, and that that's not really who we are. So they're calling us forward and supporting us in the realization of this.
And why do you think the information is coming at this time? Do you think this is an optimal time for people to take advantage of these teachings?
I know what they say. You know, they say that humanity is at a time of reckoning, and they call a reckoning a facing of oneself and all of one's creations. And, you know, that what has been created in fear, which is a whole lot of stuff at this point, needs to be recreated at a higher level of consciousness. And they say at the higher level of consciousness, fear doesn't even operate, you know. So when you begin to reclaim who and what you truly are, you actually begin to bypass that whole level of lower agreement. And you begin to support a world that doesn't hold that vibration, that octave in the same way. So they've said that, and they've also said, you know, in our belief in our own separation from our source, which has played out in our belief that we're separate from everybody else, we've managed to create the means for our own destruction under the excuse of being safe. You know, I mean, they say, you know, you've built bombs to stay safe. It's absolutely insane if you really think about it, you know. And so we're being given, I think, another opportunity to know ourselves in a much different way. and that I understand that the energy is present here on this planet, or they're in support of it now. I mean, I think that I see it all the time. People are opening up fast and furious to their own true selves. You know, it's a lot less dense than it used to be for some reason.
Well, even back when Christ was actually on the planet, and other spiritual masters have said the same thing, that there would come a time when we would be lifted out of this density. It's called the ascension. Christians call it the rapture. And there's a lot of evidence right now that the Luciferian Rebellion, which is described in the Urantia book, is now coming to an end. And with the Luciferian Rebellion, energies here were much denser and much more difficult to live in, because we had this free will zone that was quite cutting. Well, it helped cut us off from who we truly were. We didn't remember who we truly were. So it may be that now is the time that the masters and Christ and other teachers have been referring to, and that teaching such as yours and other, you know, the Course in Miracles and other teachings are coming now, because this is the time where we're going to be lifted out of that. Well, we have to help lift ourselves as well. That's what the teaching is about.
And they say it's really done through us, you know. You know, we really are the vehicle of this transformation. Because how we hold consciousness at that level of vibration actually impacts the material realm, you know, which is something that we're just, I think, getting a handle on now. So I was raised something of an atheist, and I don't read other channeled works, so I'm not a student of the Course, and I remember the Urantia book, but I never read it. So I'm coming to this really in some ways as the radio that's playing a broadcast that in some ways I don't think is the station that I necessarily would have chosen to play, but it's how the information comes, and it is rooted in a Christocentric language, or the language that my guides use is really, you know, it goes back and goes way back. I did a workshop at the Esalen Institute last year for a month that I co-facilitated with a guy who's the head of the religious studies department at Rice University, and he said, you know, these are Gnostic teachings. This is thousands of years old. It's coming in another form. And I'm fine with that. I actually am grateful to understand that this is not new stuff. It gives me a sense of comfort in the material. But, you know, as the guides continue to teach through me, they do talk about how extraordinary these times that we are in are, where we're really at a time of change.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're telling us that the change will come through us. You know, the more they've talked about critical mass, you know, when enough people are awakened to their true nature and divine self, that it'll just spread throughout everybody else pretty easily. And that's kind of what you get in vibrational scenarios. You know, you have a tuning fork that is maybe very light, but then when it gets louder, the other tuning forks start vibrating.
That's how I get it too. I mean, that's what they say. They say one person wakes up, they wake up 1,000 more by nature of their being. You know, the guides that I work with talk about, they call it the kingdom, and they say that the kingdom is the awareness of the divine in all manifestation. And the one who perceives the kingdom is the one who knows who he or she is at that level of consciousness. They say that the small self or the personality self doesn't align at that level, that the true self does. But in that level of alignment, you're actually calling everything you witness to you at that level of agreement, and that's the co-resonance. They say, and the guides say this now, and I think it's really interesting, you know, they say that everything that we see, we're in accord with, we're in vibrational accord with, and this goes well beyond, you know, sort of the easy stuff, my home, my relations, my employment, whatever those things are. But they say if you can be in witness to it, you're in vibrational accord to it, and the level of consciousness that you hold is imprinting itself on that thing. So you're supporting it in its density or in its higher vibration, depending on how you align to it. And when you begin to witness as the true self or as the higher self or the divine self, you're actually lifting that thing to that level of vibration, which is alchemical, they say. It really does transform. And I'm finding this, these are new teachings that are coming through me now, and I'm just trying to keep up with them myself because they're challenging my conception of how reality works. And but when they talk about this stuff, it just makes perfect sense. I mean, it's hard to argue it when they just speak about it in terms of alignment and co-resonance.
So where are you in the Master Trilogy? Well, I'm holding the first book in my hand.
You're holding the first book, which is the Book of Mastery. The second book was dictated, the sessions finished last Wednesday, so just over a week and a half ago, and that's called the Book of Truth. And the third book, I don't know when they're going to start. They want to start really soon. I mean, the guides, and I'm just sort of still reeling, you know. I think it's too soon to dictate another book, but they said we have two more books, one after the other, and Book of Truth took four or five weeks of sessions. There were about 21 sessions total of dictation over a few weeks, and that's the book, and it's done, you know, and the dictation and the unedited transcripts are what the publisher publishes.
Right.
So there's one more in this trilogy, and then I understand that there's more that they want to talk about, but I don't know what that is yet. You know, they don't. Every time they finish a book, I think there's nothing else for them to possibly say,
right.
And then there is. You know, so I just keep showing up for the sessions.
And then let me just mention the books that you've had before this is I Am the Word, Book of Love and Creation, and the Book of Knowing and Worth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three books that
have
already
come through.
That was
the first trilogy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, the beginning of this book is talking about identity.
Mm-hmm.
And most everybody, not everybody who's born into Earth, has the identity of the lower self at first. They're saying that we're actually born with the divine self, and then we are taught the ego self. Is that right?
I think that's how they say it. You know, they say. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do sort of get on the whole case of the idea of original sin. You know, somewhere in that book, but they say, yeah, the truth of who you are is the eternal truth, and that we acclimate to these other things. I mean, they make a distinction between character and personality, and they say personality is really accrued, you know, through experience and culture and, you know, religion and all this stuff, but that the true self actually exists beyond these things. And, you know, the divine self, they say, which is the eternal self, which is the aspect of us that seeks to be expressed as and through us, I think it can hold the personality self, but it's not the same thing. I mean, the guides sometimes say, you know, if you can imagine yourself without fear, you'll have some kind of an understanding of what it means to be at this level of alignment. But, you know, we're in so much agreement to so many things and so many structures that are, we believe to be permanent because they've always been there, but that are actually sort of keeping us at that lower level of agreement. And that's one of the things that the guides are really teaching now, is to sort of untether ourselves from the belief in these permanent structures, you know, whether it be our conception of what it means to be a man or a woman or successful or spiritual even. You know, they sometimes say that even our idea of what ascension means or what enlightenment means is still based in the ego, you know, and what the ego would prescribe as an outcome. And they're saying it doesn't work that way. You know, it's really about being at the level of alignment that you hold, you know, and at the cost of what's not true. I mean, now they're teaching truth, and that's the easiest teaching for me so far to sort of wrap my mind around, because they say, you know, when something is true, it's always true.
Right.
And that the personality self and all of the things that it would align to that are not in truth can't exist at the level of vibration of truth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just begin to work with that, you'll actually begin to release yourself from those attachments.
in the beginning of the Course in Miracles, it says nothing real with a capital R can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. Therein lies the peace of God, which is saying it in a slightly different way, but
yeah, that
it's
sounds
the same thing.
It's a totally comparable concept. You know, I don't.
Right.
I tried to read the Course when I was in my early 30s, and I just didn't get very far. But you know, I buy these books throughout the years, and I just am not moved to open them. And I'm beginning to think now.
Well, you're
it's
probably
really
for a reason though. That you don't need to be contaminated if you're going to bring this material through. You know?
That's my feeling too.
Yeah.
You know.
I wanted to mention to you that I've had three or four experiences in my life where I was under extreme danger, knives to my throat, you know, guns to my head, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And each time that happened, and actually the first time it happened, I was in the sixth grade, so I was very young, a peace and calm came over me that I cannot describe other than this this divine self enveloped me and told me that I would be fine, that no harm would come to me, but that I had to do exactly what they said. I say they, but it is what my higher self said.
Uh-huh.
And in the case when I was in sixth grade, I was abducted and drug upstairs from my parents were at a square dance in a local high school, and a sexual offender in the 12th grade abducted me and had a knife at my throat. And I was guided to kick him in the groin, and I did very, very powerfully, and I ran. He dropped the knife. I ran. And he chased me, which was probably not a real smart thing to do. But anyway, I did get away from him. But the point is, when this energy comes over you, you know for beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely clear that nothing is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
But you still have to take action. And and something in your book, there's a part of your book I was reading that said that. You know, the guidance comes through, but the guidance is going to sometimes have you take an action. And that is, and then you have to have the faith and the courage to do what you're guided to do.
Yeah, they talk about, you know, when you know something, when you move to your knowing, and they say knowing is always your true self, you're often required to act. The knowing is prompting the action. You
right.
know, it's directing. And I think, you know, there's some of us, and, you know, myself sometimes included, that I just want to sit back in my chair and let it all be done, you know. And, you know, the teaching
it's
so
not gonna
much
happen,
is a teaching of being. No, you know. I mean,
no.
I want to go. I want milk. I got to go to the store and get it still, you know.
Right.
I, you know,
yeah.
So that's my job, you know, to show up for my life still. But that's a remarkable story and experience that you had.
Yeah, I've always been aware, and then I had a couple of instances where I was close to death because I was so ill, and I was given guidance then about what to do, because although I had really good doctors, there were things that they didn't know about what I had that were very important. So I did things that were a little bit unusual, and then, of course, that got me out of the danger of dying. So I'm really through personal experience know that that this divine self is with us, and it'll get you out of all sorts of sticky situations if you just pay attention.
So my own experiences have been comparable to that, I think. You were saying?
Well, no. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nothing really. You know, when I was channeling Book of Mastery, initially when they said that they were going to bring another book through, I thought it was too soon. And they said, no, we're going to start. When they just said when they were going to start. And they started bringing through the teachings in the next workshop that I taught, which is how they've always done it. Whenever there's a new book or something new that they want to teach, they prep me for the teaching by teaching it before groups. So I get a little bit comfortable with the concepts, and then they'll bring the whole book through, and they'll usually start with where they've taken me already and then just sort of barrel past it, because by that time, there's nothing that I can do to stop it. You know, I'm showing up for the dictation. So they'll give me you know, a little bit of a taste of what they've been teaching and then go beyond that. But when I was, you know, right after they said that there was a new book for them to bring through, pretty much everything in my life that I had thought was stable was suddenly completely destabilized. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it got to a point where I was just reeling from it. And then they brought mm-hmm. through this teaching in the new book, and they said, you know, the true self cannot be persecuted, you know, and I got mm-hmm. it. I really got it for the
right.
first time, you know. But I was in this place where I was going, you know, okay, what next and why me? And mm-hmm. once I got it, everything kind of shifted, you know, mm-hmm. my relationship to it all. I mean, the guides say you can't be a master and a victim at the same time. It's just not
right.
possible.
Yeah.
And it took me sort of reframing all of my experience and sort of recognizing it through the other lens or the other level of consciousness, I guess would be a better way to say it, in order to know this, because my personality self was having a tantrum.
Yeah, if you read Kipling's poem about You'll Be a Man, My Son.
Mm-hmm. I know that one,
That's pretty much what you have to go through as an initiate mm-hmm. Before you become a master. You have
yeah.
to have false accusation. You have to have mm-hmm. lose everything, you know, on a flip of a coin
yeah.
or whatever they say,
yeah.
the dice, and then get it all back again, you know.
Yeah.
In other words,
yeah.
if you can create, you can lose everything. It's
yeah.
fine. You can create it
yeah.
again. It doesn't bother you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you read that poem, that's pretty much the recipe for what most of us will go through as an initiate.
That's funny. You know, I haven't thought of that poem in years. When I was in my mid-20s, I had an old therapist. We used to call her Hurricane Harriet. She was really great. She was a tough old dame. And
mm-hmm.
she gave it to me. And she said, read this. This is how it really works.
yeah.
And she was right.
It's a blueprint for your life. You know.
Pretty much. She said, this is the one. She gave me the copy of it.
Uh-huh.
Carried with you. So, yeah, it's a very good teaching, you know. And they do say that the Book of Mastery, they say, is an initiatic path. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and my experience of reading it was as such. And I'm, you know, the last book, thank God, the Book of Truth, was a whole different experience. I mean, that was an experience of just literally being so plugged into the frequency of it as it was
mm-hmm.
coming through. Because they say that book, which is funny, they call it a bit of an oracle, you know. It operates differently than the other books, but as you sort of align to the energy of it, which is, they say, the vibration of truth, and they say the truth is an aspect of the Creator, you
mm-hmm.
know, which is really impartial and neutral. But you see, they say that nothing, fear and nothing untrue can live in that vibration. So
mm-hmm.
when you align to that vibration, you're essentially, what's not true just can't be there. I mean, at the end of Book of Mastery, the guide said something which had threw me during the transmission, and they say, you know, they said to the reader, you know, all right, if there's something that's not moving, write it down on a piece of paper and give it to us. And I thought that was cheating or enabling, and I thought, well, how can that be? And that's a false
mm-hmm.
promise. And I sort of said as much. And the guide said, you know, and it's in the text, they said, well, no. They said, you know, we operate in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we can't hold the lie. And whatever you would give us is not true, because the truth of who you are as a divine being is really what is true. So
mm-hmm.
your shame or your issue or your this or your that, these things that you believe to be so real, aren't even true at this level of vibration. So if you
mm-hmm.
give it to us, we carry it, which is essentially sort of surrendering it, you know, to the higher frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite interesting, but my experience of the last book was so much like that. So it was much more of a pleasant experience than bringing through the Book of Mastery, which was, you know, which was, I was getting the lessons as the book was coming forward. There's no question.
Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, I'd appreciate being able to interview you on the Book of Truth when it comes out.
Sure.
If you would. Yeah,
it should be out in January.
Okay, great. That's great. And would you like to give your contact information for the audience at this point?
Sure. You know, I have a website, which is just my name. It's Paul Selig, PaulSelig, .com. And, you know, there's information on the books. I do workshops all over the place. You know, two or three times a month, I'm doing something that's available to people, and the workshops are my guides teaching through me. I just show up and let them do do their work. And I do live streams on Wednesday nights, which has really been the ongoing laboratory for this work. And the guides are just channeling. They're bringing through a new teaching every week and taking questions and working with the energetic attunements with whoever's coming. There's usually a few hundred people on those calls, so the energy is pretty high. But, yeah, that's how to find me. And there's a lot of information. There's videos and stuff like that. So if you're interested in the work, that the website's the place to be.
Great. Would you like to give a little bit of information about some of the lessons? I mean, well, there's a chapter called Union in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to give a little bit of information about what that is about?
I have no recollection of it.
Oh, you don't?
It's a challenge
okay.
with me. No, you know, when I'm dictating everything and when I'm transcribing it, I get it.
Right.
But it's
right.
a very different relationship. My name's on the cover, but I'm not the author. So
right.
a concept I can speak to, but occasionally somebody will read me a paragraph from a book, and I go, wow, that's really amazing. What's that from? And
right.
I said, well, it's your second book. And I'm going, oh, okay.
Ooh,
you know,
why?
I have.
Yeah.
Well, it's the nice part
well,
about it is.
Generally, it's like that, though. You don't really remember what you bring through. It's
no,
you're not really
I remember
there.
The gesture.
Yeah, that is true.
I'm in the back seat of the car. That's what I say
yeah.
when I'm channeling. I climb into the back of the car and I let them drive. And if I start to hear something that makes me nervous, I lean over the front seat and question it.
Right.
And
there
the
you
process.
Go. That's a good
yeah.
example. Well, let's see if I can go back to the beginning of this chapter on union and see what. Well, the first one is called Identity and Claim. And that's where they, I guess, talk about the.
Mm-hmm.
The divine self versus the personality,
mm-hmm.
and or introduce the idea of the divine self and how you claim that.
Mm-hmm.
And then union starts at, let's see, it's, I'll just read this. The alignment to the true self is the one you are, is the action of your being, and there can be nothing outside of the self that dictates who you are, when you are, in an awakening of this news. So,
well, you know, their teaching has always been that the true self's action is to realize itself, and they would say as and through. You know, as in through, meaning as in through who we are now. You know, it's the, it's the expression of the divine as we are. The claims that they make, and they work with these things, they're energetic attunements, and the guides work with language to do this. And they say that the language itself is encoded with vibration. So it really, this is how they describe it to me. If I'm a radio, what they do is they tune the radio to play the higher broadcast. You know, the radio's already here. The broadcast already exists. We just don't know that we can play the higher vibration. We can play the higher station. So they're supporting us through this encoded language to do it. And the claim in Identity and Truth, I think, and in the whole book, is I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am here. I am here. I am here. Now, to sort of unpack that, it's I know who I am as a divine being, as an aspect of the Creator, as the divine self. I know what I am in form and manifestation. I know how I serve simply means how we are most fully expressed as our true self. And the guides are very clear to say that it's not the small self or the personality self that makes this claim. It's the I am presence or the true self. So the divine self says, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve. And the guides would say that these things are always true. It's always true that the divine self knows who he or she is, what he is, how she serves, you know. It's always true. So when you're claiming that, you're aligning to the true self beyond the confusion or the appearance of separation in the moment. Now, the divine self is always in union with its source at a higher level, but we're having this experience other than that. The claim, which is the big claim, in the Book of Mastery, I am here, I am here, I am here, they say is the divine self claiming its purview over all she sees before her. So it's, again, the claim. It's not Paul saying, hi, everybody, I'm here, where's the party? It's the divine self announcing itself as in through. Now, I do this work because this was all brought through initially in workshops, you know, these methods that they work with. And the attunements are really palpable when people work with them. And you can feel the frequency. You can feel the rush. You can feel, you know, the alignment that comes. And you can work with other people. So you can be witnessing them and sending this. You can claim you are here, you are here, you are here to somebody else. And you'll feel their whole energy field just morph and open. It's a lovely, lovely experience. So that's the claim of mastery. I am here, the divine as you, announcing herself as what she is in the world. And then the being of that, I think, is where they're going, what they're teaching now in Book of Truth. You see, I didn't get this. When they started saying, I know who I am, I know what I am, I know how I serve, people used to say, well, what's the difference between I know who and I know what? Aren't they the same thing? And I thought, well, maybe the gods just like to say everything in threes, you know. But what they always said was the who was identity and the what was form. But the whole new book, Book of Truth, is unpacking I know what I am, which is manifestation. And they say that the physical self, and this is a challenge for me in a large way right now, but they're saying that the physical self is also divine. It's not just the sort of temple of the soul. The temple itself is as holy as everything else. And the belief that we've operated with the temple or the body as separate from its source creates the separation from our understanding of our unity with all we see before us. So it puts us back to God's in the cloud and we're here in the mud. You know, that whole idea that they're operating in two different realms. So, you know, what they're saying now is the I know what I am, you know, the manifestation of the divine in form is really what allows you to align and transform what you see in the physical realm. Because if you perceive yourself as separate in form, then everything else is separate in form as well. You see? Because otherwise you can't be in alignment. So much of what they're doing with this work, and they're being very firm about this now, are direct about this. They keep saying, you know, this is not a theoretical teaching. This is not theory. This is this is a thing that happens. And we need to take it out of theory, this whole idea. You know, people used to, you know, the guides say, you know, they've been known to say to people, you know, who get, you know, who say, well, I know I'm God, you know, and, you know, I know we're all God, and I know, you know, and the guides say, listen, you know, you don't become the Christ becomes you. There's a big difference between the two teachings. It's not the divinization of the personality or the ego, you know, and see how powerful I am. It's actually something very, very, very different that occurs here. And so when they're talking about the expression of the divine self, they're talking about the expression of the truth of who and what we are and have always been, which is usually outside of how we would prescribe that to be. So I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am here. I am here. I am here is this expression.
In the chapter on union, you question them about time being a construct. In fact, what you said is, what the hell does that really mean? Which is a great statement. But I think that talking about time as a construct helps, at least it helps me understand that what we're really in right now is a time and space are both constructs, and Einstein taught us that they're connected. So that helps me understand the difference between what we've created here through our agreements and then where we came from, which is, you know, they call it eternity, where time and space are not constructs. Would you like to talk a little bit about that, because that really does introduce a concept in that, showing how different what the level of consciousness they're coming from is than what we're used to.
Yeah, there's not a lot I can say about it. I mean, you've read what they said about time in the Book of Mastery. They go into it with more depth and the Book of Truth, and I don't know how well I remember the teachings, you know, if I can well enough to sort of render them, but the guides say, for example, that they exist outside of time,
right,
although they will meet us in time as we know it, you know, mm-hmm. So they're agreeing to sort of, just they say, you know, God is in everything, but he's also, you know, on Tuesday at 4, if that's where you want to see it, because you're operating
right.
at Tuesday at 4, and that's your agreement to the calendar date, the divine mm-hmm. is there as well, but it also exists beyond that. It is not that, but it can hold, it can be held in that as well. So the guides actually say, you know, that they're working with the readers of the book as the reader is reading the book, which is actually happening simultaneously to the dictation of the book. Everything's mm-hmm. happening at the same time. So that they're teaching the student as they're bringing the lessons through me, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm just sort of a little flummoxed by the whole thing. But I, at a certain level, when they teach it, I understand it. I mean, they say that, you know, time as we know it. They don't talk about space. Maybe they'll get there eventually. They haven't brought up the concept yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they do teach space, but they talk about landscape, and I suppose landscape and space would be the same thing. I mean, they use their own language, and they tend to, and they say, then maybe this is for me because I flunked science, I think, or got a D in high school, which was my last encounter with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would really enjoy reading physics. I don't, you know, and partly
right.
because I'm doing this work, and they're they say that they don't use the language of science because the language mm-hmm. of science will be dated, and how mm-hmm. we're describing things now will be different in 50 years or 100 years. And they
mm-hmm.
say, you know, these are eternal truths. No matter how you want to describe them, they're always true. But they
mm-hmm.
talk about landscape as sort of the outpicturing of consciousness. And, you know, what we've all created together. They talk about the calendar and the timepiece, they call it, as ways we've sort of created to have a shared agreement about what is here and how to navigate our lives. And that in and of itself, it's not a bad thing. It's just how we're choosing to be. But that's just one level of reality. That's one level
mm-hmm.
of consciousness, and where they're operating from, it's not present. I mean, they talk about linear time, and they make the distinction that we look at things or break things down in a linear
right.
way, but they say that that's us doing that. Mm-hmm. That's really not even how time is operating. They've
mm-hmm.
talked about it, I think, more as spirals or circles, you know, one on top
right.
of the other that can be flipped and moved. So you're like, if you had a stack of plates, you could hold them in different
mm-hmm.
formation, and you'd have different experiences of them. You know, that's as best as I can do on this one. I should go back and see what they said about it in the new book. I mean, the new book, the dictation, just finished,
mm-hmm.
and it was such a fast and furious process, and a good 100 pages of that book, and I think including the stuff on time was delivered in front of students at the Esalen Institute. So these were public channelings where the guides said, we're continuing with the book, and then they
right.
would just deliver an hour lecture and say, and this is in the book, and that's it. But they started working with students on moving out of the construct of time and actually sort of
mm-hmm.
deconstructing physical reality, which is fascinating stuff. I mean, they say that, you know, if you look around the room that you're in, everything has a name that was given to it by something else, by somebody else who came before
right.
you. Everything was decided before you got here, like what
right,
a wall
right.
is, what the colors are, what it means to be a blue wall versus a white wall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is all collective agreement as
right.
to the nature of form. And once you begin to realize that everything that you see before you used to be something else, you know, the chair used to be a tree and the tree used to be a seed, you
mm-hmm.
actually begin to be able to sort of deconstruct consciousness or what you
mm-hmm.
what you make things as. And then you can bring it back to vibration. And that's a trip.
Right.
Because I was doing this workshop, and people were sort of watching they were doing this with partners, and they were watching their partners just sort of disappear. You know, they were just seeing them sort of move into vibration. It's really interesting
mm-hmm.
work.
There's an interesting video that came from Coast to Coast. It was if you subscribe to their newsletter, it was about 3 days ago. It was a video in a city environment. I think it was 2016, probably just recently. Anyway, it's a storefront, and by the garbage can, there's a homeless man just sitting there asleep. And you see this guy in a hoodie walk through the glass door of the shop. He just walks straight through it. And as he does it, the time codes flip between 2016 and 2019. They just flip back and forth. And then in just a minute or two, you see him walk back out, and he's eating something. He's you know, like eating a bar or something. And the homeless guy wakes up and looks at him, and you know, like is startled that he has just come through a wall. But you know, if this video is actually true, which I believe it is, then this is proof that at least this individual is capable of things where he realizes that time and space are constructs, and maybe he's using this loop of time or whatever you want to call it to somehow change time-space so that he can walk through glass doors.
Mm-hmm. So, in the new book, the guides say, you know, Paul's getting worried that we're telling people that they can walk through walls, and we're that's, uh-huh. that's not the case. But I was getting very worried. But very, I mean, there's so. But I was, I mean, you know, I don't want to be party to a teaching that isn't true, you know. And at the same time, they're sort of dealing with me and my resistance to what I can conceive of. Mm-hmm. But I did get the whole time that they were dictating the Book of Truth, which is that they're talking very directly about alchemy now.
Right.
But they're talking, but they're saying that. In Book of Mastery, they also say that mastery is the ability to transform the material realm. So the idea of, you know, like the loaves into fishes stuff, you know, is starting to make sense in the context of this teaching, but in a very, very different way, you know. I mean, what they're saying is that how you perceive anything informs the vibration of what you see.
Right.
And often cements it. So when we're all taught to be frightened of someone or something, we're actually supporting that fear by going into an agreement with it and cementing it there. But if you bring the higher consciousness to the same thing, you can actually lift the whole thing to that level. It's fascinating because you can feel it. I mean, when they do this work with people, you know, in groups, you can feel the whole shifting of how everybody focuses intention on one person to see them in a perfected state, for lack of a better word, and you can feel the whole field realign to that level. So, I mean, there's something going on here. I'm just thinking, wow, that guy walked through a wall to go get an energy bar and then come back, you know, and that's what is, that's kind of, I mean, I don't know, why not, you know? Why not?
Well,
I think that we're so limited by what we conceive of as possible.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that the time code flickers as he does this?
Yes, that
is interesting. Time and space are constructs, but they're linked.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You know, Einstein had a whole theory about time-space continuums, okay, and how gravity, large bodies with a lot of gravity, would distort time-space. Okay, that's gravity. But in any case, there is nothing that would not allow us to walk through walls with this teaching if we were able to do it perfectly.
Exactly right. My guides just said exactly right. So
right.
You know,
so
yes, they're
maybe
agreeing with
if,
you.
If I've got your email address, and I think I do, I'll send you the video. You can watch it yourself.
Thank you. That would be great.
and see if you think it's real. I think it's real. I think
sounds
it was
great.
Actually, somebody was trying to get a message to a large number of people. Of course, Coast to Coast has many, many listeners that are open to this information.
Yes,
that perhaps what we think are constructs that don't move are not necessarily that at all. You know, maybe maybe we need to rethink all of this.
I think my guides would agree. I mean,
you
know, so much of what they're teaching right now is a deconstruction of what we think is real.
Right.
You know, I mean, they say, you know, like, we've had these things for so long that we perceive them as if they're always going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the guides say, you know, you've been at war for so long you can't conceive of a planet without war.
Right.
And in that, you're actually replicating the structure of war. You can't imagine it not being there, so you keep calling it into being. And until you realize something higher, you're going to continue manifesting what you've had.
Yep.
You know, but they say this, you know, they say, you know, all a bank is, I mean, they say, you know, a long, long time ago, somebody asked somebody else to hold their money. And that was it. And now it's a bank. And they say the consciousness of that first person who held the money and everybody who ever followed doing the same thing is informing the solidity that we give to the bank. But when you realize that that's just the attention paid and the manifestation of it, you can create something at a higher level. But you can't do it as you're continuing to reaffirm the existing structure. You know, and it's funny, if you see what's going on in the world right now, it seems like people are really beginning to object to the idea that we need to be maintaining a status quo that's not working, because it has been. And I think that that's actually very positive.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think every institution is undergoing a revolution. I know healthcare is. You know, there's a whole movement in healthcare actually to figure out the cause of something, treat it, and quit just treating the symptoms and keeping people on drugs forever. You know, there's actually a battle. I mean, it's a battle sometimes fought at the medical board level, you know, but then laws can be passed to protect the physicians that are treating things differently. And so the legal system gets involved, and I think right now government is being questioned at all sorts of levels. That's why there's so much interest in the debates.
I agree.
So, well, we're coming up on the end of the hour here. Would you like to give your contact information once again?
Sure. It's just my name, Paul Selig, PaulSelig.com is my website, and everything from, you know, workshops to appointments to links to get the books up, the major booksellers is all there, and a bunch of free stuff, a bunch of free videos, things like that.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, and look forward to the Book of Truth.
Thank you.
Coming out, and then I guess you'll find out what the third book is when they're ready to give it
to you. When they're ready to do it, and not a moment before.
That's right. Well, thanks so much. We've been interviewing Paul Selig, the author of The Book of Mastery, which is actually a trilogy, channeled text about things that we can learn in order to help with enlightenment and making things better here on Earth, not just the same old stuff that we've been doing for the last 1,000 years, and that would be really helpful. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we will be interviewing Jackson McKenzie, psychopath-free, recovering from emotionally abusive relationships. And then the next week, Dimitri Morales, Change Your Aura, Change Your Life. Thanks a lot, Paul, for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.